the best laid schemes o' mice and men gang after glye, and lays naught but grief and pain for promised joy.
The actor Bill Paterson there, reading To a Mouse. Robert Burns, or let's call him Rabbi, was the man responsible for that and other enduring poems like Holy Willie's Prayer and Address to a Haggis, as well as the works of his that I am particularly fond of, songs like A Fond Kiss, strongly emotional love songs expressed in unflowery language, if you can use that word, about my love is like a red, red rose.
My love is like a red, red rose. It's newly sprung in June.
Burns struck a chord with so many others because, as well as celebrating humanity in all its forms, his work was intensely patriotic. Burns is actually thought to have been the first writer to have a museum dedicated to him back in 1814, but by the 21st century, the facility had not moved with the times and was rather lacking, to say the least. But now, 6 years after it was first proposed, and 2 years after his 250th birthday celebrations, a brand new Robert Burns Birthplace Museum is belatedly getting its official opening tomorrow. So let's go to Alloway and have a wee look inside with our guide, Nat Edwards, the museum's director.
So this is the first section. This is where poems and songs which have ensured Burns endures as a cultural figure exists. And here, for example, you have the manuscript of Tam O'Shanter.
The wind blew as 'twould blown its lass. The rattling showers rose on the blast. The speedy gleams the darkness swallowed, loud, deep and lang, the thunder bellowed. That night a child might understand the deal had business on his hand.
Now, one of the most exciting things isn't just that you can see Tam O'Shanter performed in a cinematic performance which we show every hour. You can look at the manuscript itself, but you can walk out of the door, go straight across the road to Old Kirk Alloway, which was the setting for Tam O'Shanter itself, or you can go down the road and run across the Brigadoon and be Tam O'Shanter, or you can go into Burns' cottage and hear the old ghost stories which Burns himself heard as a child, which he turned into this wonderful masterpiece.
Now, it's not just Tam O'Shanter that's literally lifted from the page. The museum has over a dozen interactive videos and games that vividly bring to life Burns' poems and songs. And it's important to mention his songs because although Burns' poetry has touched millions and influenced people such as Keats, Coleridge and Wordsworth, his work as a songwriter really can't be understated.
We're now in the section that looks at Burns' inspiration. He was a great songwriter and song collector, and we see here a couple of musical instruments. Here is a very, very early guitar, and this belonged to Robert Burns. So I like to think of Burns noodling away on this, working out the melody to Auld Lang Syne.
Dr. Gerard Carruthers is director of the Centre for Robert Burns Studies at Glasgow University.
Burns might be the greatest poet that Scotland has ever produced. He's most certainly Scotland's greatest songwriter. I always suggest that Burns is the nearest thing we have to Lennon McCartney.
And like John and Paul's work, Burns' songwriting influence also stretches far and wide. Nat Edwards again.
His work is arranged by composers such as Haydn and Beethoven. Bob Dylan often cites Burns' My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose as the song that most inspired him. And everybody from techno down to sort of traditional musicians to rappers continue to rework Burns.
Fell for your honest taunty face. Great chieftain of the pudding race. I bring them all, you take your place. Pinch, pipe, or film.
But it's not just poets and musicians that help maintain Burns' legacy. Everyone from Abraham Lincoln to John Steinbeck to Kofi Annan have assisted in keeping alive Burns' work through the 20th and 21st centuries. An estimated 9 million people will attend Burns suppers all around the world over the next few days, and there are more statues of Burns in existence than of any other writer. Which leads us to the next section of the Birthplace Museum, Fame.
We've opened up the section with this display which presents Burns at the centre of a Last Supper table, and you can see sitting ranged beside him Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, Che Guevara, John Lennon, other people, if you like, who've achieved the same kind of status of celebrity icon. And Burns, of course, at the Last Supper is presiding over a haggis and makes a reference to the phenomenon of Burns' suppers. I mean, you don't have Shakespeare suppers, you don't have Byron suppers or Wordsworth suppers. This really is a unique thing.
Also within the fame section is the very first rave review of the Kilmarnock edition, Burns' first published work. And this illustrates another big difference between Rabbi and his peers. He was a huge success in his own lifetime, becoming an almost overnight smash. And undoubtedly a huge factor in helping to continue and build on this success was Burns' very strong sense of his own image.
Perhaps he was the first person to understand celebrity in the modern sense. He wrote his own biography at the age of 29. He was very careful about adopting particular clothes and appearance when he was over in Edinburgh. He chose his language carefully to perpetuate, if you like, the image of the honest ploughman from Ayrshire set into polite Edinburgh society. And here we see, as we move through the display case, different translations of Burns: Mongolian, Estonian, Japanese, Russian.
Настанет день и час пробьет, когда уму и чести.
He became an international superstar within months of his death. And eventually, by the time we get into the 20th century, anything that really had a surface that could be printed on it has Burns's face plastered on it.
So, as Nat says, in the museum we can see Burns' likeness on all manner of souvenirs and memorabilia, helping to contribute to an estimated £159 million a year industry. But at the same time, we're never too far away from reminders of a less marketable side of Rabbi. The identity section of the museum confronts Burns' famously damaged reputation full-on, a reputation which includes accusations of being a drunk and of almost abandoning his beloved Scotland to work on a slave plantation in Jamaica. But is this reputation deserved? Ian Paterson is the writer and creator of Rab C. Nesbitt.
Artists are not better than ordinary people. They embody the same faults, only more so to the nth degree, because they're often creatures of extreme.
And Burns academic Dr. Gerard Carruthers thinks that the accusation most often levelled at Burns, his womanising, needs to be looked at as part of a bigger picture.
Burns' reputation is a very odd thing, because you might think that he would be damaged by some of the stories about him. You know, anyone who fathers at least 13 kids with at least five women, although that's nothing compared to, say, Bob Marley's record. But anyone who has that record has got a bit of explaining to do. But when it comes to his poetry, the things that lasts is just that he is such an appealing writer. The fact remains that the work always shines through.
Ian Paterson, meanwhile, who incidentally has sponsored one of the museum's most interesting artefacts, a Guinea note belonging to Burns, thinks the Bard's critics need to understand both the artistic mentality and the historical context before they judge him.
If being a nice person was a precondition of being artistic, then you'd be looking at blank telly screens every night and there would be no books. And also, if you were poor in those days, you were going to die young, so you might as well just enjoy what comes your way.
But whether you like him or loathe him, it's hard to get away from the fact that those faults are integral to what made Burns the icon he's become.
The great thing about Burns is he never shied away from his own failings, and we can see that in the collection.
So, as we approach the 252nd anniversary of Burns' birth, it's time to strip away the suppers, the whiskey and the haggis, and ask, just how relevant is Robert Burns in 2011?
He's a writer who, when you read him on love, war, justice, society, very much can be read in the 21st century.
Burns is one of those writers who helps define what Scotland means in a modern sense and helps define what being Scottish means in a modern sense.
All the things that conflicted Burns still conflict us. These things are just as relevant now, if not more so, than they were then.